You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning from 6:30. I'm here with the former Brentford and Barnet manager, Martin Allen. Morning, Martin.
Morning, Stoney.
One of the stories that we've seen is about Gareth Bale this morning. Gareth Bale, they played their last game of the season, Real Madrid, against Real Betis. Is that right? They played Real Betis and they lost 2-0. But more to the point, Bale didn't get on, sat on the bench the whole time. And if it was his last game, didn't say goodbye to the fans, none of that stuff. But he has said that he's going to sit there, he's going to play out his contract, or not play out his contract, and play golf for 3 years. I mean, he's on $300,000 a week, right? We reckon, something like that. Should he just maybe take a pay cut and go and play again somewhere else?
Well, I think there's a... I'm not sure he's actually said, Stoney, that forget football, I'm going to play golf.
He does like his golf, doesn't he?
He does like his golf, but most... well, quite a few footballers I know like their golf. But he's signed a six-year contract. He's won three Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
He's got 3 years to go. If he doesn't want to leave Real Madrid and he chooses to stay there, that's his prerogative.
Does he deserve better, do you think? Does he deserve a bit more respect from the Real Madrid hierarchy?
I think probably so. And if they want him out, which they clearly do, Zidane has been quoted as saying, if I had a fourth substitute, I still would not have put him on. Then it's clearly there's problems between those two. But that's the problem that Real Madrid have got, not Gareth Bale. His basic salary is huge, but he's won three Champions League, so it's probably deserved.
All right, but what about professional pride? What about that?
Professional pride? Well, he could turn around and say, well, I signed a 6 year contract. It's got 3 years to go. I will be back here and I will fight for my place in the Real Madrid team, and that's it.
I mean, all right. You know what? That's fine. But he sort of knows that the manager doesn't fancy him, right? Zidane, yep, is not a fan of Gareth Bale. So therefore, shouldn't he just cut his losses, agree a payoff with Real Madrid? Because they're not going to, you know, he's not going to just walk away from 3 years at whatever silly money he's on, £15 million a year, right? It's £45 million. He's not walking away from that. But if he says to them, all right, give me a £15 million, £10-15 million payoff, and then I'll head off. I'll go. I'll tear up the rest of my contract. He doesn't have to do any of that, but he's got more money than he knows what to do with. And surely, at 29, you've got, what, 3, 4, 5 years left in you. You want to be spending that playing football. Iron Robin did it. Iron Robin knew he wasn't wanted, went to Bayern Munich, won a load of trophies.
Yes, I can see where you're coming from, Stoney. I think at 29, three Champions Leagues, a fantastic career, mega earnings. He's been brilliant for Wales when he's played in the big competitions. And maybe his desire to be right at the sharp end is not now as quite as... he hasn't got that
hunger
that perhaps what he had when he was at Southampton when he was about 19 years old on his way up to Tottenham.
What?
Perhaps that's waned. Can he get back? And has he still got the desire, like Ronaldo, like Messi, that they can keep going and keep driving,
yeah,
on? Has and where has that gone? I could see how he might think, oh, I'll just wait here at Madrid, wait till Zidane gets the sack and I'll get back in. There probably will be a deal done. There probably will be a deal done on £45 million that he's owed. There'll probably be a deal that fits in there somewhere, that he'll go somewhere, perhaps on loan for, yeah, a couple of years. And I was thinking about it on the way in, Stoney, because I thought this would be a topic. And maybe, with the problems that they're having at Manchester United, maybe he would be a good player now to go into Man United. And if he doesn't have his injuries and he plays, I wouldn't say week in, week out, but sparingly,
yeah, yeah,
then maybe he's the type of player that Manchester United would want. And I would feel that Manchester United have got the money that they could pay what they need to pay to get him. And he could be a big player for Manchester United at this current stage?
Well, the Sun are suggesting if a team is willing to pay a £10 million loan fee, they'd be willing to accept a deal where the other club only covers £250,000 a week of wages. These numbers are ridiculous. The papers, by the way, are claiming that his wages are as high as £600,000 a week. Man United fans, what do you think? 0208 7020 558. Get in touch. Do you think Gareth Bale would be the start? Maybe solve your problems. We were talking about it in the office just before. You're signing, it's possible you're signing Danny James, who is this young kid from Swansea. He's lightning fast. We all saw him score a great goal last year in the FA Cup. So maybe Bale would be not the way you want to go. But then again, you're Man United. Is Danny James going to keep your fans happy?
This is Love Sport.
Late last night, Brooks Koepka sealed his fourth major title of the USPGA. You might have gone to bed thinking it was a done deal. I sort of did. When I went to bed, he was about four ahead. But he was dropping back a little bit. And there was a wobble on the back nine, meant his seven-shot lead was cut to just one at one point. DJ was a couple, Dustin Johnson was a couple ahead. He won in the end. To be fair, it is awesome, but Americans quite often, you know, you can give them a cup of coffee and they would say, that is awesome. That is, oh, and then they would fire guns in the air and throw hats or something. That's what they generally do. But it is pretty awesome. Four majors in eight. I mean, that is quite impressive. The only people who've done that, Ben Hogan, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. It's pretty stellar company he's joining there. He's looking to get into double figures and he may well. He's only 29.
Same age as Gareth Bale.
Same age. We are going to talk exclusively about 29-year-olds today. Although Brooks Koepka is in a slightly better place, I would suggest, right now.
Yeah, but he's still got that fire and drive and desire to be successful and win more majors, to climb that table, to challenge those golfing greats.
Golfers later, though, isn't it, really? I mean, 29 is getting towards...
Is that peaking?
Well, not... Yeah, no. I mean, what, in terms of golf or football?
Yeah, golf.
Golf, I would have thought mid-30s is when you peak. Some players maybe start a bit earlier. In the end, you can get involved in all the... Maybe you'll get double figures. Maybe you'll challenge Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus. But in the end, 4 out of 8, he is on a fantastic run of form.
Yeah, and I don't think he's had the credit he deserves. He's a phenomenal player.
Well, Xander Schauffele described his dominance as boring over the weekend. I mean,
who?
I tend to... Xander Schauffele.
How many majors has he won, Stoney?
Well, quite. He hasn't won any.
Will he?
Do you know what? That's a good question. He's certainly on the leaderboard. I see his name on the leaderboard quite a bit. Doesn't mean he's going to win majors. He's younger, but... You know what? If you think it's boring, why don't you get a few shots closer to him?
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't be so bored.
And to finish 10th, you know, you said about Rory McIlroy finishing 10th and just creeping in after such a sort of a bad start to that tournament again. When it really matters, some of these guys, they are a different level. And until they actually get on the top of the leaderboard, he's handled that for 4 days. He went ahead at 9:30 on Thursday morning and he's been first place for the whole tournament.
Yeah.
That is a tough call for everybody fighting you, everybody knocking you down, everybody waiting for the collapse.
Mentally strong, isn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched that last night, Stoney. I checked it if he was still winning when I got home last night and it was like, flick the TV on, I'm going to watch this because I did want to see him fail, believe it or not. I did want to see him, someone to, you know, get right up there and get level. And to see that wobble, similar to what we see in the Augusta Masters, you know, round about Eamon Corner, which is holes 9, 10 and 11, which are particularly difficult. There's always a wobble and it happened again last night. Thankfully for him, he managed to steady himself. He managed to stabilise himself. And then when DJ got close to him, he wobbled with bogeys. He was pulling it left. He was hitting it long. And, of course, he blew his opportunity to overtake him.
Yeah. By the way, just Jason Sobel was tweeting, great note from CBS. Brooks Koepka is now tied for the fourth most major wins before turning 30, behind only Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus and Bobby Jones, which suggests that his best years are still to come.
Ahead of him.
Yeah. So that'll be fascinating to see how that goes.
This is Love Sport.
Andy Jones is here helping out with the production this morning. He's coming with some stories from inside the newspapers. Morning, Andy.
Morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's all right.
Thanks for letting me out of the glass cubicle for 2 minutes. A toilet break and the papers, and that's it. Get back in your box.
It's just, well, you've come in and started moaning. What have you got for us?
Oh, well, join me, if you will, in a comic fairy tale. Roy of the Rovers. We heard Roy of the Rovers stuff with Vincent Kompany a few moments ago, him scoring that goal against Leicester. Roy of the Rovers, now it's the Women's World Cup. We're introducing Roy's sister, Rocky.
Well, I suppose the first
female
thing...
female comic strip.
All right. First of all, it has to have an alliterative quality, right? So it has to be Rocky of the Rovers.
Rocky, a girl's name.
Why not?
I know that they're dead. I know that we live in very modern times.
Short for what? Rocky?
Rockina.
Roxanne?
Roxanne
of the Rovers might work better, actually.
Well, exactly. That's what I thought. Roxanne of the Rovers.
It's a bit odd. But in the end, the idea of this is that women... and young girls who are aspiring footballers should also have someone to look up to. There's Roy for us.
They absolutely
should. There's Rocky
should.
For them.
But in these very modern times, are these youngsters who are on social media and Instagram, are they going to be going back to an archaic comic strip like Roy the Rovers for inspiration? Is there not some fabulously glamorous female sports star who's doing keepy uppies and round the world and all sorts of fancy tricks that's more relevant to them than Rocky?
Do you know what? I think, Andy, the point you're making is that comic strip seems like an anachronism in 2019.
Yeah.
People don't read comics anymore.
No.
Having said that, I met someone the other day who has a job for the Beano, which is online now, by the way.
Beano?
So, the Beano. Yes, the Beano. You won't even remember. Do you remember the Beano?
I remember the Beano.
All right, okay. All right. Sorry, he was slightly put out. Like,
no.
What do you mean? I'm older than I look. No, but okay. It's still going, but it's online.
What's an alternative to Rocky then? What would you call it?
A better name.
Raylene.
Rita.
Rita of the Rovers.
I feel like, obviously, even in these very modern times, girls have all sorts of names. But is a young girl, I don't know if any of you got daughters, if a young girl is going to identify with Rocky as a female character, I don't necessarily believe
that
they
would.
That's
what I'm saying. What would you have instead of Rocky?
Rona of the Rovers.
That's a bit weird to say that.
Rona.
Why not?
Mona.
But Rocky's not going to work, is it?
Hey, listen,
Rocky's a boxer and a chocolate bar, and that's it.
Yes, possibly that's true. We shall see. What else you got?
Okay, all right. You may have seen a royal team talk yesterday with His Royal Highness Prince William.
I did.
Held a team talk with big players, Thierry Henry, Danny Rose, Peter Crouch, Jermaine Jenas. I bet they're on best behaviour. I bet there was no ladsy banter in that dressing room.
They don't seem that ladsy, those five, anyway.
Possibly not,
to be honest.
Possibly not.
It's not like they got Neil Ruddock in there with Prince William.
Perhaps they should have done.
That might go wrong. Perhaps
when
they
should have. When is that programme going out?
Last night.
It went out last night.
You can watch it on iPlayer at 10:30. It's quite a serious thing, isn't it, about mental health and depression.
Obviously, mental health, depression, suicide, the biggest killers of young men under 45 in this country.
Shocking.
Danny Rose was confessing that a club looked to sign him last summer, but after his earlier confessions about suffering with depression over his injuries and other things, this club, this unnamed club, wanted to seek a meeting with him first to see, quote, if he wasn't crazy.
You know what, Martin? We talked about this a couple of days ago, didn't we? And as much as I don't like the way that they use the language, as someone signing a player,
absolutely.
I mean, you want to know, Martin, you've been a manager, you'd want to know that they are essentially stable, right? If you're going to be spending money on them and giving them wages.
Yeah, you would.
It's just the use of the language that is wrong here.
Yes, the terminology, I think, that comes into question. And for all those years, that you used to have medicals. Obviously, as you all know, there's medicals for physical injury. But I don't think there's ever been a test done for psychological and coping and dealing with being left out, with injury, with marriage breakdowns, moving around the country, difficult situations that footballers do face. And I think one of the things that springs to mind was Aaron Lennon, the right winger playing for Everton, I think, at the time. Probably getting very, very well paid. I think he was in and out of the team. His form was sort of dipping up and down. And he came out publicly and said he needed to have some time off because he was suffering from depression and he was quite ill.
Yeah. I think...
But it is a valid point, though, isn't it? That you're paying... You might be spending 40-odd million quid of your company's money. You've got to know if that player wants to play. And even though this is a desperately sad situation, we're talking about player might have to sit out his contract in Gareth Bale and it'll cost them however many million pounds, and that's a different story, obviously. But if you've got a player and you're going to sign him, he has to be on that field.
I think it's just about the language. But you know what? But you know what? Programs like they had last night can only help this sort of stuff. And these are high-profile players as well. I mean, it was Thierry Henry, Jermaine Jenas, Peter Crouch, Danny Rose.
Peter Crouch was talking about how, obviously, Peter Crouch is a uniquely physical specimen, isn't he? We don't have many 6'7" players of that kind of build and shape. And he was talking about how age 14 and 15, he'd just sit there crying after training, crying on his dad's shoulder, saying, why can't I just look like the other boys? And he hated being tall and skinny.
They
and
used
got
to
relentless
shout,
abuse.
Freak at him, and his dad used to get into serious rails when they used to play. And listen, having had abuse for the way I look, right, I understand completely, it's not pleasant. But Peter Crouch has come out the other side, and he's a good role model for
Absolutely.
Talking about this sort of stuff.
Certainly. I mean, the incredible thing is those attributes are what have made Peter Crouch be the player that he is. And if he didn't, his dad wasn't there at 14, 15, he might have taken a completely different route and never have played.
No one should have to go through this stuff, though. Go on, you were going to say, to be fair, you deserved it, is what you were going to say there. I know what you were
going to
say.
No, I was
going to
say.
Yeah,
I would
have abused you if I'd have seen you, Stoney.
To be fair... Peter Crouch now, with that wonderful wife that he's got, he's having the last laugh, isn't he?
Abby Clancy. Well, as he said, famously said, what would you be if you weren't a footballer? And he said, a virgin. That's pretty funny, isn't it, really? God bless him. He's a funny guy. But this programme went out last night, 10:30 on BBC Two, I believe.
Yeah,
you can catch it up on iPlayer. Rachel of the Rovers is another suggestion.
Of the Rovers.
There are any number of names, women's names, beginning with R, and that's one of them.
They would have had a big meeting about this. And I don't know how they settled upon Rocky. Anyway, moving swiftly
on. One more, come on.
A dentist ordered 500 promotional leaflets for her surgery, but was sent instead a box of adverts for an adult film star. Dr. Rebecca Stevenson screamed in shock and had to warn her teenage son to look away, I bet she did, following a mix-up at the printers, where instead she was sent ads for Italian adult film star Miss Mina, showing women and couples in various acting scenarios.
Acting
scenarios. Stunned, Dr. Stevenson said, they were offering services for things I'd never heard of.
Really?
My son was there. When I opened the box, I said, don't look, avert your eyes. Vistaprint was so dismissive. When I asked what I should do with the leaflets, they said, bin them, love.
Quite. Although there is actually an Italian porn star somewhere who's got a load of dental implants leaflets.
Well,
they're not going to do much good
for her. Ideas about new scenes. And
well,
things.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Okay.
In the dentist chair.
I think I'd be more likely to go to the dentist if it was Miss Mina, to be honest, than the dentist I've got. Though I'd probably come out in a lot more pain.
Yeah, well, really, it's about your teeth, isn't it? That's the point.
It is.
When you go.
Well, you put a smile on your face.
Thank you, Andy.
This is Love Sport.
I'm going to have a slurp of coffee. That's better. Watford arrived at Wembley. I needed a little wet me whistle, as they say. Watford arrived at Wembley hoping to overturn the odds and enjoy a happier day than they experienced in their previous FA Cup and final appearance when they lost 2-0 to Everton in 1984. However, they were met by the juggernaut, one of the best sides ever assembled in English football, and we're on the end of one of the biggest losses in FA Cup final history. Joining us now is the former Watford midfielder Paul Devlin. Morning, Paul.
Morning.
They didn't do that much wrong, did they, Watford? They missed that chance at 0-0, and that maybe would have changed the game. I thought they played pretty well, really.
Yeah, I mean, you just said the juggernaut that is Man City, quite rightly, what you just said, but one of the finest teams ever assembled. And I just think it was unfortunate that Watford came up against them. Like you say, I mean, would it have been a different game if they'd have took that chance early on? You know, maybe, maybe not. I just think, you know, you've got to give Man City credit. They were absolutely fantastic and utterly ruthless, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. When you're playing against a team like that, you have to take every chance and hope it all runs with you. And I mean, I've seen Man City have lost games this season. They can be beaten. When they played Newcastle, I saw, and when they played Crystal Palace. But you need a lot of luck, and Watford didn't get a lot, did they?
No, I just look at, you know, the first couple of early incidents where the lads missed the one-on-one chance, and then, you know, Silva's first goal, you know, if I was a manager, I wouldn't be happy that David Silva's beating my defender in the air and then actually getting on the end of,
Raheem as well, the two shortest players on the pitch.
And they're both absolutely fantastic players, but you'd be liking to think that your defenders are gonna win those sort of challenges there. And, you know, to be fair, when the goal went in, Man City didn't look back.
And they grind you down, don't they, Paul, by the possession and the big pitch at Wembley. It was a matter of time, despite Watford's good start. I just thought it was a matter of time before the gaps would open up and they would just overpower.
They keep the ball fantastically well, and they're like you say, they wait for the gap to open up, and then they've got that much pace and ability in the team. When they do see a gap, you know, invariably they take advantage of it and punish you.
And plus the fact that it must be slightly disheartening when you're playing the game. They go, oh, we're going to bring a couple of subs on. We'll bring on Kevin De Bruyne and Leroy Sané. And maybe we'll bring on Sergio Aguero, the greatest goal scorer they've ever had. I mean, it is a little bit ridiculous. Does it, the amount of money they've spent, does it make you think, oh, what's the point? To a certain extent, how can a team like Watford, who, let's be fair, are a mid-table Premier League team, a decent outfit with some very good players, how can they possibly compete against Man City?
Well, the honest answer to that is that they can't. And I think, you know, probably most of the league can't compete against Manchester City. But, you know, historically in years gone by, whoever's been dominant, they've always tended to be the team that spent quite a lot of money, Man U in the heyday, and you know, teams like Chelsea when they were spending big. So it's difficult for clubs like Watford to get anywhere near them. And I think, you know, a lot of praise has got to go to them for the season at the pad, Watford, because I think they've had a fantastic season, really.
Yeah, a lot of good players have emerged, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's exciting times at the club at the moment.
It is. Go on, Martin.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what about Doucouré, the midfield player? I think he's a great player at Watford. He's really, will he stay, do you reckon, Paul?
I think there's going to be a lot of interest in maybe a couple of their players, Martin, isn't there, really? It wouldn't surprise me if he was to move on. Obviously, I've got quite a strong Watford connection with playing for them, and Troy Deeney's from up my way as well, another good Brummie lad. So I always keep an eye out for the results. But yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for them to hold on to one or two of the players. But you know, they've done fantastically well with the recruitment the last year or two. So you never know, they might bring in a couple more gems.
And also a word for the fans as well. I mean, you know what, you've turned up for your big day out and it's all going horribly wrong. And then the noise from about 15 minutes from the end from the Watford fans when they're all waving the flags and singing the songs. And you thought, yeah, this is what it's about.
Yeah, fantastic. Obviously, you know, it might be the only occasion some of them fans get to go to to an FA Cup final, and you know they're not daft. They realise that they're up against, you know, one of the greatest ever teams in Premiership history. So they've gone there and they've rightly enjoyed the day, even though they wouldn't have enjoyed the result.
No, quite. I know you're Watford connections, but a word from Vincent Kompany, his last game for Man City. I think he's one of those players, and there's not many of them who you sort of feel he's pretty much loved by football people generally.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic career, and what a way to bow out doing the domestic treble. I think you've mentioned him now in the same breath as the likes of Tony Adams, Roy Keane, people like that as captains and leaders. Definitely, in my opinion, one of the all-time Premiership greats.
I would agree. I think no one would disagree. Thanks very much, Paul. Nice to speak to you.
Thanks.
Paul Devlin there, former Watford midfielder. We have been having a quick look at some of the other great centre-halves, because whether he would get into an all-time Premier League team, and I don't even like the fact that it's all-time Premier League, because what about the players who played before that? But you know what? We're looking at the players from the last 20, 25 years. The names we had, centre-halves, who might be mentioned in the same breath, Tony Adams, Rio Ferdinand, Nemanja Vidic, John Terry, maybe Jaap Stam, maybe one or two others, but those are the ones, aren't they, really?
Yeah, they are the ones. And I like there what Paul just said about Premier League sort of captains, leaders. And I would put Kompany right at the top of that captain leaders. He would be up there with a John Terry, because he seems on and off the field to have galvanised and brought the whole city together, the blue part of the Manchester City, with his work with the homeless, the charity work, similar to what Roy Keane would do at Manchester United. He was the Pied Piper with everyone following.
Yeah.
And I think Kompany and John Terry would definitely fit into that bracket.
And it's interesting, actually, because I remember watching the Man City documentary on Amazon.
Yeah.
And they asked Bernardo Silva, who's a bright kid, by the way, right?
Yeah,
and
he
and they asked him about Kompany, and he goes, well, he could be president if he wants to be. And I believe he probably could. He's got that level of authority.
He's got an Obama manner.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
his
yeah.
demeanour, the way he speaks, he's calm, he's confident, he's bright, and he's happy to help everybody. He's not just thinking about himself. I could not ever imagine Vincent Kompany building three golf holes in his back garden and saying, I'm going to play golf for the next 3 years.
And here he is
getting on an aeroplane, probably a private jet, over to Belgium this morning, plotting and planning. He's richer than you could ever imagine, no doubt, and deservedly so, to take on a job with all that stress and anxiety as a player, manager. What a great man to do that.
What a man.
Love sports.
In the Eurovision Song Contest, it's bigger than us. It got less points than anybody as well. It might have been bigger than us. Guy's here as well. Hello, Guy.
Hello.
Did you watch Eurovision, by the way?
No, I don't remember the last time I watched Eurovision.
It's a laugh. It is a laugh.
I'll
it does go on a bit. It really does go on a bit. And there were political protests this year, of course, because it was held in Israel.
Very political.
Madonna had dancers with Palestinian flags as well as Israeli flags.
That was a sign of peace, or a peace sort of gesture.
Dancing together. That's what the Arabs and the Jews should get together and dance
behind Madonna
with a big wall in between
as long as she's wearing an eye patch and some weird body armor,
all those things,
very surreal.
But she wasn't wearing a cape this year. Remember the cape from a couple of years ago?
And didn't it fall off or something?
No, the dancer trodden it and she fell down the stairs. Yeah, that's
I think that's one of my highlights, seeing that. I thought that was hilarious.
See, that sort of stuff is funny, but we didn't have any of that this year. We just
no capes.
Britain just really
doing terribly as always. See, that's the thing. I watch enough things where I really want England to do well and they don't, and that's hard enough. So why'd I watch something where I don't really care if we do well or not, and then we still end up coming bottom? Because
yeah,
that's what we did.
Why put yourself through that pain? I see what you're saying. What else have you got, Guy? Oh, sorry.
No, I was saying last week, at the end of last week, Guy, we had a discussion about the Eurovision coming up on Saturday night, and I said, who watches and who cares about the Eurovision Song Contest? Nobody I know. And then somebody came in, I think it was Paris, said 165 million people watch the Eurovision Song Contest.
No, all over the place. It's a big, big...
And I cannot believe that.
It's a big camp get-together is what it is, and it's fun.
I guess it is.
A tremendous amount of fun for a lot of people.
Do you know why we came bottom, though, this year?
Well, Brexit would have had part of the reason. Yeah, but you know what? We've been doing rubbish for a while.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, it was your fault, Guy. Didn't you vote for it?
Look, I've got others through. Michael Rice, he says even Gary Barlow or Elton John wouldn't have done any better.
Well, they would have done better. They would have done better.
I went to see Take That on Birmingham on Thursday night. Gary Barlow is the top man.
He wouldn't have got Nilpoir, would he?
I don't think he would have. He didn't get Nilpoir anyway. He got 16.
Sorry, 16 he got,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
sorry,
we
Michael.
We were last.
Sorry for underplaying.
We were last. Anyway, Michael Rice said he's going back in the studio, so we're looking forward to whatever music he produces for us.
We'll get a full album.
I can barely contain my excitement. What else have you got?
I didn't realise, but just lastly, only 22 years since we won it. I thought it would have been way longer ago.
Who was it that won?
Who won 22 Stony. Years ago? Do you know what
Bucks
you're
Fizz.
Asking me? No, that was in the 80s, mate. Bucks Fizz.
Katrina and the Waves.
It was Katrina and the Waves. Apparently. That's right. I said this last week. I did a gig with him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I said, "Well, you going to do Walking on Sunshine?" And she looked at me like, "Go away. I don't want to talk to you."
I mean, obviously we are. But...
Yeah, obviously we are. We're going to do it at the start and probably at the end as well. Maybe for an encore.
That's the only song they ever had, isn't it?
Well, don't say that if you ever meet Katrina. From the Waves.
She's a bit touchy.
She's slightly touchy that she has a massive, massive back catalogue.
Game of Thrones.
It sounds like a euphemism. but it's not. Game of Thrones. No spoilers.
Shall I tell you what happened?
No. Of course you're not going to tell them what happened.
I'm not. Don't worry. But what is happening, and I can't quite believe this, only in 2019, it's one of those stories. Mm. Obviously, it's been going on for nearly a decade now. It's got almost as many fans as Eurovision, and people are going to be really struggling to come to terms with the end of it. And what they've done, what a certain place has done to sort of alleviate the stresses and the worries of people with a Seven Kingdoms size hole in their lives. There's a special hotline that's being set up to be counselled about the end of Game of Thrones. It's going to cost you £40 an hour.
Yeah.
It's like one of those really dodgy late night chat lines that you're told never to call. I never have. But
yeah, right.
£40 an hour. So
it's expensive. I mean, these people maybe need to get out more, don't they?
People phoning up
Game of Thrones, lack of Game of Thrones helplines.
But you are a big Game of Thrones fan. How big a hole is it going to be in your life? Only
not,
a very small one.
No, not that big a hole. I mean, I've enjoyed it.
You have.
Looking forward to seeing the last episode, which I'm going to watch this afternoon when I get back. And we shut all the curtains because you have to watch it in the dark because it's a bit dark as a
Game of Thrones good?
Well, it's been watched by hundreds of millions of people, but that doesn't mean... Is it good? No, it is good. I'll tell you when I got hooked. It wasn't with the dragons and the awful deaths and all the rest of it. There was a chat between a king and a queen who were getting divorced and didn't really like each other very much. And it was a really human chat. Honestly, I can't say any more than that. And it was really... There was something very human about it. I thought, oh, yeah, this is really good. The characters are really good. And also, by the way, it's extremely funny. It's extremely funny. It's properly humorous.
Is it people like sitting on the back of a dragon and the dragon breathing fire everywhere?
Well, it is a dragon. They do breathe fire. That's what happens. But, you know, you have to accept the fantasy of
it. Has it endured? Has it stayed good? Because I watched the first couple of series. I did enjoy it, actually, but for some reason I stopped watching. But it's been going on a long time, yeah. And a lot of these series lose their way.
No, people have been complaining about this last series. 500,000 people signed a petition saying we want it rewritten. And those people they should never vote again on anything, right? But yeah, of course it stayed good because you buy into the characters. Yes, it's ridiculous. It's dragons and there's bare breasts and there's a bit of sex and there's lots of violence. But
That's what people like.
It's fun.
A prequel.
It's fun. But will I manage to get on with my life afterwards? Yeah, I'd probably be okay because I'm a grown-up.
Will you ring the helpline?
No.
Remember.
I won't.
If you can't. And
maybe if I'm in somebody else's house and I don't like them. And I might just I might just ring it and leave the phone off the hook for them.
Say your name's Guy.
Yeah. But, you know, no, I won't ring the helpline.
I do like it, though, because they're apparently going to be fully knowledgeable, the counsellors, the Skype counsellors, of all the storylines, so you can properly say, oh, but what happened to that person?
Yeah.
A prequel, by the way, is being filmed. I think it might be a bit lower budget. It's been filmed in Belfast, but a prequel is being filmed
nonetheless. Well, Northern Ireland is where they filmed a lot of it, actually.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is provided a huge amount of employment for a lot of people in Northern Ireland and also for weird-looking actors.
Yeah, true.
Weird-looking. There's a lot of people in there you wouldn't expect to see in regular programmes, but they look great in Game of Thrones.
It's minority-friendly as well.
It's minority-friendly. Actually, there's only a couple of black characters.
Oh.
It's really class. It's class. It's great telly. It's what telly should be. It's on a grand scale.
I can't remember this much hype around almost any other series, certainly not in the last few years.
The Sopranos, people were not very happy with the ending of The Sopranos when it happened. I didn't get too stressed about it. I thought it was a good ending.
Life goes on. And I think that was sort of what the ending... Anyway, I won't get into spoilers. There's one more story that I had to do because we are joined, of course, this morning by Mad Dog himself, Martin Allen. It's all about who dogs actually like best. It's not, in fact, the case that it's man's best friend. It's woman's best friend. Apparently, 56% of people surveyed, owners said that their pet responded better to a female voice. You must have a couple of dogs yourself, Martin. You must get them free from some organisation.
We've got at the moment...
Free dogs for life.
We've got at the moment a dash hound.
Okay.
Called Bill.
Long or short haired?
Short haired.
Okay.
Medium sized, whatever that is. And he
does... Not big, not small.
Everything he's not allowed to do.
Right.
So if you call him, he'll run the other way. And if you don't call him, he'll run towards you.
He's well trained.
Yes, well trained. All he knows is that tea time is his dinner. And breakfast, he gets up for that every morning. And apart from that, he does exactly what he's like. And he's absolutely adorable.
It's funny, isn't it, how animals, even the worst trained ones, they always seem to know their meal times, don't they? If nothing else, they know their meal times.
Of course they do. My dog, it bothers my missus way more than it bothers me.
Right.
And I'm happy with that.
What dog have you got?
We've got a border collie.
You see, I thought you had cats.
We've got a cat as well.
Oh, right.
Got a cat as well.
I thought you might have gotten confused for a second.
Do you know what I wanted to... I told you, I didn't get them confused. I know the difference. You know, I had a cat and we wanted to call it Eartha, but my missus wouldn't let me. Eartha Cat. I thought that'd be a great name for a cat. But she went, it doesn't...
Eartha
Cat. I think it was a really good idea. I told my mate has got a cat, called it Chairman, as in Chairman Meow. But I thought, which is a really, really funny show, right? It's David Baddiel. He's a comedian, right? He should be allowed. Funny. But...
you should have been allowed Eartha.
I absolutely should have been allowed.
Someone's listening now.
Yeah.
They're going to nick that idea. They're going to call their cat Eartha Cat.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell all their mates. And their mates are going to go, that's brilliant.
That's really funny.
And they're not going to say, you know what? I heard it on Love Sport Breakfast.
No, they won't do that. But it'll be weird because that'll be the only funny thing they ever do. Right? It's funny, right? You've got absolutely no sense of humour at all. But the name for the cat was brilliant. I don't know. It just came to me one night. But anyway, it's actually woman's best friend.
It is indeed.
When people said man's best friend, they didn't mean men, though, did they?
I wasn't there.
Humans.
I wasn't
no, you
there
weren't there
was...
at the meeting.
No, I missed
when
it.
They decided that.
I was at the cat one.
Well, on that one, Guy, I also had a black Labrador 13 and a half years, and I lost him last year, God bless.
Man.
And he died, or you literally lost him?
In a card game. That was a big hand.
Be careful on this one.
Four jacks, I had.
Be careful on this one. Be careful, he was loyal, right on my side. 13 and a half years, every day I took him to work. Oh my God, when we had to take him to the vet.
It's horrendous, horrendous. Yeah, that's never easy. I had a cat and I took the cat to the vet after 18 years. And that was, it was just one of the most upsetting days of my life. That's what happens. Now, vet bills are ridiculous. I remember £95 for an injection. I'm like, what are you injected with? Heroin, for goodness sake? It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway.
Love sports.
Oh, DIY sun creams.
No.
Apparently they're a thing, and people are being urged not to use them. If you're planning to use them, don't, because they're not safe.
DIY sun creams.
How does that work then, Guy?
So apparently there's a demand for natural, organic, and ethically made beauty products, and I didn't think sun cream counted as a beauty product, but I guess it stops you from becoming less beautiful by getting sunburned, so maybe it is in that regard.
Yeah.
But apparently social media influencers, who are the worst, let's be honest.
Kim Kardashian, isn't it?
They are not helpful people.
Kylie Jenner, those sort of people.
All of those people. Love Island people. All of them not good, and they've apparently been recommending these. Shock, they don't actually work. The commercially successful ones are successful for a reason, because they do actually stop you getting sunburned.
Yeah.
68% apparently don't offer proper protection, and there's a, just to illustrate this in the paper, a very sunburnt person. So just to remind you what the consequences are, you will get the sort of shape of whatever item of clothing you're wearing burnt into your skin. So don't use these, basically, is the lesson there.
I think that's fair enough.
You won't be giving those to your kids, will you? You won't be making them at home in some weird sort of recipe.
No, because I don't want my kids getting burnt.
Quite right, Ian.
Hey, Guy, a few years ago, I went on holiday with my wife, Lisa, to a little little place in Turkey. Nice little cove. And at the back of the cove was a nice little Turkish restaurant doing all its bits and pieces. And when it got to the end of our week, I was quite nice and brown, and on the last day we had lunch in this little taverner, and I said to my wife, the best thing you can do to get a great tan is to cover yourself in olive oil. So on the table, in amongst our salad, was a bottle of olive oil, and she looked at me as though I was mad, believe it or not. And as I was sat there, I was covering myself in olive oil. She said, are you really going to sunbathe with that on? You must be. She's shaking her head for you.
Must well
so anyway, I'd had a couple of beers, went down and laid on the sunbed, as you do, looking out on the sea. And within a couple of minutes, I had about 20 or 30 wasps all around me trying to get me. Right. And the next thing, I'm running out into the sea trying to get rid of all the olive oil to stop the wasps from stinging me.
I can't believe that didn't work. I'm genuinely shocked by that. But you know what? You have to add a small amount of balsamic vinegar as well. Then you get the mixture properly.
That is lovely.
Salt and pepper and a bit of garlic. It's essentially a vinaigrette dressing.
You have to sit there because you can't get the oil off, because once it's on, it's on. So sat there with a towel.
He's still got it on.
Still on now. That's still why he's wearing long sleeves.
That's why he's wearing his long sleeves. Yeah. He didn't put on his legs though, but he's got shorts on. Yeah. Okay, well, homemade sun cream sounds like a ridiculous idea. It sounds like a homemade operation kit or something.
Quite literally, don't try that.
Don't do that at home.
This is Love Sport.
And Guy is now coming in because he's got some more stories from the back pages. Are we talking about Gareth Bale?
We are indeed, yeah. So he's made a few of the back pages in spite of actually having done literally nothing yesterday during Real Madrid's game. They ended their worst season for more than 20 years with yet another defeat, this time to Real Betis, who have also beaten Barcelona and Atletico Madrid this season.
And the manager got sacked. The Real Betis manager got sacked.
Unbelievable.
Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid.
There you go.
But
cheers.
Hardly anyone else. They finished 10th.
Martin, any comment on speculation linking you to the Betis job?
No, but what I did hear, and he's beaten me to it, he was sacked an hour after the game. So you've beaten Real Madrid away 2-0, and within an hour, they sacked me. My record was an hour and a half.
Oh. after a win.
After a win against Real Madrid.
No. It was a defeat away at Hartlepool. Hour and a half after the game, on the M1, with my wife in the car, the telephone call from the chief exec, you're fired. That was hour and a half. So when I read that was yesterday an hour, that did make me smile.
That is tough, isn't it? That is really, really brutal. But yeah, it's not looking great for Gareth Bale. As you just said in your headlines, they're left on the bench, not given a farewell appearance. We're expecting him to leave this summer. But will he? That is the big question, because he has apparently told teammates that he's happy to see out the last 3 years of a contract that pays somewhere in the region of £500,000 a week, shall we say. It might be slightly less, it might be slightly more. We don't know. But
how does anyone know?
It's an obscene amount. And what I do quite like in this morning's papers is a piece by Gab Marcotti in The Times, where he basically is making a comparison, and it is a comparison that I think, you know, stands the test on a lot of levels, with Arjen Robben, who was a little bit younger when he left Real Madrid 10 years ago, but was kind of also roughly in the prime of his career, did have to take a pay cut from the wage he was on at Real Madrid, went to Bayern Munich, and now finally this summer he's leaving there, but he's played almost week in, week out when fit. He's won 8 league titles in that time, and he's become a bit of a club legend. It's probably too late for Bale to become club legend at any other club at the age of nearly 30, but he's got enough in him, surely, to make a big difference somewhere.
I remember Chelsea had a player called Winston Bogard who decided, remember him?
Yeah.
And who decided 40 grand a week he was on, which was a lot of money at the time, and he just went right, and he was training with the kids for about 3 years. And my Chelsea mates hated him. I mean, properly hated him, because...
With
a vengeance. And what sort of behaviour is that? And where's your professional pride? I understand 500 grand a week or whatever he's on, it's hard to walk away from that. You can reach an equitable agreement with the team, but you're 29. You've still got 4, 5, 6 years of your career. Really, you're going to play golf? I mean, I know how much he loves his golf. Andy was telling us he's had 3 different famous golf holes built in his back garden, right? Because he loves his golf so much, so he can play these. But come on, mate. I mean, what about playing the game? What about the people who pay your wages?
Going back to that Winston Bogard. Apparently, he used to pull into Chelsea's training ground with the most fantastic brand new Bentley.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even in the team, training with a youth team in the end.
It's outrageous.
Could you just imagine it? The training ground, we're seeing him coming in this with the youth team.
You're taking the mick, aren't you? Yeah. But that is the one thing I don't like about this Bale thing. I'm a massive fan of him as a player, and generally he seems like a good guy. He seems fairly, golf holes in his back garden aside, fairly down to earth, if that's possible when you're on 500 grand a week. But there's pictures of him on the bench yesterday, literally laughing. He's having a bit of a joke. He's apparently, according to the Mail, told teammates he's happy to see out his contract. I think he knows he's taking them for a ride and is quite enjoying it. And I don't like seeing that from a guy who should still be near the prime of his career, being a match winner for one of a leading European club, and he's happy to take the money and play golf. I don't like that.
I think what it's going to probably lead to, Guy, will be a situation where his agent goes into the bosses at Real Madrid and say, Gareth is owed XYZ. If you pay him XY, then we'll leave.
Yeah.
So I think all this sort of what's being put out there right now is just the start of jockeying and negotiating a deal that's going to get him out and get back to this country.
I mean, well,
he's got children, hasn't he? I think he's got 2 or 3
children.
He's got
kids. I mean, this is the interesting thing to me, right? Well, a couple of questions, actually. One, Martin, how quickly do you lose that match sharpness if you're sitting on the bench every week?
Well, he would be very frustrated about what's happened. Match sharpness, well, he's been injured for a long time as well, hasn't he? On and off.
So he hasn't. It's not that he would have it completely. This is only a year, by the way, after he scored that overhead kick in the Champions League final. Things changed very, very quickly.
And he's won 3 Champions Leagues.
And he's won four.
3 with Real Madrid.
No.
3 consecutive.
He's been there for 4.
He won, the 3 consecutive and the first one, which is where he scored the header in extra time, which, although they won 4-1, was the crucial goal, really.
That's the winning goal. And then Ronaldo got his shirt off.
Got
his
shirt off after a penalty. Well done, mate.
That's right. No, but you know what? Yeah, he's won 4 Champions Leagues. More to the point, we're talking about professional pride. If Jonathan Barnett, isn't it his name?
Yeah.
He goes into Real Madrid and says, listen, we'll get a deal and we can pay off half the money. You don't think Spurs, he'd walk back into that Tottenham team and let's say he's on less wages than he's on now, but who cares? He's leading the team out in front of it in this brand new stadium, superstar player who's won stuff. It strikes me as a perfect deal for Tottenham and for him.
Well, look, lastly, The Sun is kind of hinting at exactly that happening. They're saying that if someone is willing to pay a £10 million loan fee, which is a big loan fee, let's make no mistake about that, but if they're willing to pay that loan fee, Real would be willing to cover £250,000 a week of his wages just to get rid of him. I mean, how much does that suggest a club doesn't want you?
£1 million a month they would pay out just to not have him on their books. Wow.
Just thinking about this, I think the question would be, the main question that needs answering is, which club would want him? So for Gareth Bale, where am I going to go that's going to excite me, stimulate, motivate and get me going again? Where's it going to be? Southampton? I doubt it. Tottenham? Maybe.
But don't you question his motivation for that? If he's happy, if he says he's happy to stay at Real and take the money.
I'm not sure he is saying he's happy, to be honest with you.
It's part of the negotiation.
I think it's all part of the laying the foundations to him to get the best deal. I could still see him going to Manchester United at this moment in time.
Not that he's going to get Champions League football if he does go there.
He'll get well paid, and that would be the type of player I would imagine that Manchester United... They've got to do something at Manchester United. There's desperate times with that squad they've currently got.
Well, that is certainly a stellar signing. Even a half-fit Gareth Bale is probably better than most of the players they've got in that team.
This is Love Sport.
Well, joining us now is the former Man City captain, Andy Morrison. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Ian. Morning, Martin.
Morning, Andy.
I mean, yeah, they've won the treble, but there is always that feeling with Man City that the reason all this is happening is for the Champions League, right? Andy, have we lost you? Oh, we did. Andy, are you there?
Yes, no, I'm here.
Ah, there you are. I was just asking you about the fact that even though they've won the treble, there's a certain element of disappointment because the Champions League has not happened.
Well, I don't think we can use the word disappointment. Obviously, that's the vision I think the club have eventually to try and to win the Champions League. But, you know, when you look at Barcelona, Madrid, Juventus, Bayern Munich, you know, who has the right to win it? You know, it's such a difficult competition to actually get there. I believe if they do it once, they can go on and do it again, very much like the Premier League. Like when they broke up the duck in 2012, they've now shown they've gone on and won it four times. So, you know, but it's such a huge mountain to climb and very, very difficult.
But they have done a fantastic job over these last few years. And now it's got to be a transition, hasn't there, Andy, to going close in the Champions League, to actually going on and winning it and making this, a great Man City team.
Yeah, I mean, me, obviously, with my blue goggles on, I believe it already is a great team. But, I agree. You know, the margins are so close, you know, to actually score four goals against Tottenham Hotspur at home and to go out is hard to stomach. And but, you know, yes, I agree. Yeah, maybe to be one of the greatest teams ever.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to go and win the Champions League, and that is such a difficult achievement because, you know, your quarters, if it's Juventus, then it's Madrid, and then, for instance, at Barcelona, to actually come through that is such a huge ask.
I want to ask you about Vincent Kompany. I mean, you even without blue goggles on, we can all see what a great captain and leader he is. What has he meant to Man City the last 10 years?
I think he's been pivotal in everything they've done. I think if we look at all the great teams, you know, you're going back to your Arsenals with Tony Adams and, you know, Steve Bruce, Roy Keane. I just think these top teams do have somebody that's at the helm that is just a, you know, first of all, he's a proper man. And first of all, you know, that I think that's the key. I think he's a leader. Everybody else follows his example. And, you know, what he brings to that changing room. And I do find that actually a fearful, after I heard it over the weekend, to actually replace these players. They're such a dying breed. And I think every manager at every level now is trying to look for that leadership that's coming through, which is so hard to find. And Vinny will be irreplaceable. And it might be somebody that will come through in years' time that might come on and be the new Vincent Kompany. But to actually go out and cherry pick one, I think it's impossible.
And do you think now with David Silva also, how old is he now? He's pushing on a little bit, 33. It could be a little bit of a time now for a transitional period, if you like. They may need to bring in some fresh blood to keep this going and to keep striving to be more successful.
If only they had the money.
I think, yes, you know, with David Silva and Sergio Aguero, you know, that kind of spine of the team that's been there now for a decade.
Yeah.
Always going to be very difficult to replace, but, you know, when you look at Kevin De Bruyne, Silva, Sterling, Gundogan, Walker, Laporte, Stones, you look at the players that are coming through, I believe the foundation is there. And it's just about now trying to just find the pieces to go in amongst that. And like I said, that's not easy. You know, there's been names mentioned over the last few years that have actually gone in different directions to other clubs. And it appears that, you know, we might have dodged bullets at certain times. You know, I think Fred was mentioned. And to actually come into the team and be a starter, and it's not as easy as that. And but I'm sure they'll have identified players that they believe will be able to come in. And
Harry Maguire, you know, Andy, as one name that's been talked about.
Yeah, I think he's a top player. First and foremost, he's an exceptional footballer.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably one of the first things that Pep looks at before actually leadership qualities. He wants players. You know, I think he believes if you're actually in possession of the ball and you're not defending deep and having to be resolute and be aggressive, I think, you know, then you don't really have to worry about those characters, because such is the dominance of the ball and the way he plays.
Quite. Andy, we'll leave it there. Nice to speak to you.
Lovely. Thanks, lads.
See you soon.
See you, Andy. Bye-bye.
Andy Morrison there, former Manchester City.
He was
City
a good player, by
captain.
The way, Stoney.
Yeah, yeah. No, he could play as well. But at Man City have just raised the bar, haven't they? David Silva, what a player he is. Yeah. When he goes, I mean, mind you, Bernardo will just step in, won't he? He's not bad replacement.
Well, they've also got Foden coming got through, Foden, haven't they? He wasn't even on the bench on Saturday.
Serious amounts of talent there.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.